Louis Erickson has agreed to a 6-year deal with Vancouver Canucks.
Contract sucks.
Dustin Bufflin's had a heck of a series, and Chicago in total control.
Yeah, this is all over. You can order the autopsy
with the
now.
Fifth selection, Vancouver select from the London Knights, Ole Ulevi.
We choked.
Yo, it's Bappin' Sports fans, Aaron and Stefan, recording late for us.
That's
on
right.
On a Monday night. No Canucks games, so we wanted to let it marinate and get the whole Demko news out of the way, or just released, I guess.
Yeah.
And I would like to pat myself on the back here. Last episode, I was saying I think they should play Casey DeSmith against the Jets on Saturday.
You may have jinxed things a little bit. Yeah.
I think I was right.
Yeah. I mean, that's the big news, I guess, is the Demko injury. The other big news is that they've won 4 in a row against some really good teams. Other than Anaheim.
Yeah, I think that narrative really of good, so. Like they can't play against good teams is kind of shot. And I don't know how you're feeling about it, but kind of broadly with the Demko injury, I'm not super concerned. Obviously there's a bit of worry there, and probably the biggest worry is that when he comes back, like, is he going to be game ready? Is he going to be hesitant in time for the playoffs? Like,
yeah.
When Ryan Miller got hurt in the last time the Canucks were in the playoffs 9 years ago, he came back for game 6 against Calgary, and it was a fucking stinker when he was recovering from injury, right? And, yeah. And like, look at last season at the beginning when Demko was still playing kind of tentatively because he didn't want to re-aggravate his injury from the Boudreaux bump run where he was out of this world. So I think that's my biggest concern is how he's going to play when he comes back. But sounds like a knee injury, according to Dhaliwal and Farhan. I've seen 2 to 3 or 2 to 4 weeks, and I guess 2 to 3 fits in the 2 to 4 week range.
Yeah.
Which would give us time to get a couple of Demko games back in before the playoffs, which is good.
Yeah, and they've got the big homestand right now against some tough teams, but they're at home. And, you know, DeSmith played well against Winnipeg. I mean, the Winnipeg game... they dominated them.
That was so cool.
That first period was incredible. It was so good. So if they play like that, they're playing Colorado on Wednesday, I believe.
Wednesday, yeah.
Only 2 games this week. So, you know, time to rest up when the team needs some rest. Like, we hadn't really had any super bad injuries this year, knock on wood, again, and this is kind of the biggest one so far. Any news about Joshua coming back? I haven't seen anything.
No. I remember... Someone was asked about him, talk it maybe. And he said that like Susie's going to like be skating today or going on the trip. And Joshua was going to see the doctors today. And that was, I guess, before they went on that 3-game road trip. So I assume it's going to be somewhat soon.
Yeah.
But they haven't practiced today. They didn't practice yesterday. So maybe we'll see and get an update tomorrow when they do have a actual practice and skate around.
Yeah.
Not holding my breath for any proper Demko news. It's going to be, he's week to week, but we think it's going to be okay. Lower body injury. They're not going to say like MCL sprain. But what I heard today, MCL sprains, usually 4 to 6 weeks recovery.
Yes.
And there's been like a smaller time frame for Demko. So
yeah, maybe it's not
that's
that
encouraging.
Bad. I mean, there's different grades of sprains, I guess. But like, did you see, was there a specific play it happened on? Like, I don't know that I saw any sort of play.
They speculated on it on Hockey Night in Canada. It was in the first period. And I also heard, I always want to say Tyrone Woodley, but it's Kevin Woodley, former UFC middleweight champion.
Yeah.
But the goalie guru, there's a position where I guess you're in the butterfly and the puck is behind the net and you're pushing both your skates into the post to like cover it on both sides in the butterfly.
Right.
And I guess it's like a very strenuous position to be in, even for like a lot of elite NHL goalies can't get into that position well. And I guess he was in it. And that's like one of the plays that they highlighted. And apparently that's hard on your knees for what it's worth.
Okay.
But there was no real like inciting beyond that clip that they played on Hockey Night in Canada. Like there's not like a major like collision or anything. It's, and if you remember when they talked to Casey DeSmith after the game, DeSmith said that Demko came up and was like, "Hey, you might have to go in." So it sounds like, you know, he aggravated it and it was nagging, but right.
Nothing like crazy. Like, cause it was just the theory when, like during the game, the theory was, oh, you know, we've seen this before, obviously with Luongo, maybe he shit himself.
Yeah,
or that's it's just the hope. They're up 4-0 and you know, it's time to give him some rest. But that felt a little weird to me even at the time where I was like, they're only up by 4 and it's still like, we're like halfway through the game. Right. Like,
it's not like
the third period, but.
Well, cause in the first game, right. Like he left in the third period and DeSmith went in, and I guess it was because Demko was dehydrated.
Yeah.
So, remember McDavid got all pissed off about it.
Yeah.
Little baby.
Yeah. Was that when they were up? What was the score? Was that the...
That was like the 8-1 game, yeah, or 8-2, whatever it was. Like the first game of the year when they fucking blew
out.
That feels
like so long ago at this point. I mean, I guess it kind of is, but...
Feels like we've lived a lifetime this season.
I know, yeah.
Like, I felt like we lived a lifetime last season as well, but for an opposite bad reason.
Yeah.
What's your confidence in DeSmith over these next few weeks?
He looked solid against Winnipeg. I mean, they didn't test him a lot because they looked like total shit, but I don't know. I mean, I definitely have more confidence in him than I've had in like other backups previously. Like he played really well at the start of the year. Obviously he looked bad, but like when he looked bad this year, the whole team looked bad, right?
Yeah. Like so, that 9-7 or 10-7 game against Minnesota. I can't pin that on him. It was so many power, like 5-on-3 goals.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember the stat, but it was like weeks ago. And I think it was since the beginning of January. This was prior to the Anaheim and the Winnipeg game. But Woodley, again, I heard him on the radio say that in his like 3 or 4 starts, which included that Minnesota game.
Yeah.
He only gave up 2 goals that weren't on high danger chances, according to like Clearside Analytics, which is like good. And what like exactly what you want from a backup goaltender. I remember like when the Canucks acquired him in our Discord, shout out to the Discord.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/I hate this team. Rat Brother, our like resident Pens fan, brought up that like DeSmith, he'll go through streaks where you're like, oh, this guy is absolutely a starter. Like we can roll with this guy.
Yeah.
And then he also goes through streaks where he stinks. And I feel like that's the experience that we've got so far this season. Like earlier in the year when they played him in that second game against Edmonton and he was great. Really that whole last part of 2023, he was really good.
Yeah. He was like the best backup in the league. Maybe like that wasn't in like a 1A, 1B situation.
Yeah. I mean, like we were having discussions about like, is he going to be too expensive to re-sign? Yeah. Should he be traded at the deadline? On that note, quite happy that we didn't push all in with all these futures for Demko to get hurt in the next game.
Oh my God. What if he had gotten hurt before the deadline? Do you think they would have brought someone else in, or are they're happy with the Smith and then whoever? Like the interesting question now is, who are they bringing up from the AHL? Have they said yet?
They haven't said yet. Like, yeah. It's between Tolopilo and Seelovs, obviously.
Yeah.
I know Tolopilo had been more consistent in starting more games.
Yeah.
But Seelovs did just get a shutout in their last game. So maybe, and he also has the NHL experience. So maybe that is what they'll go with.
Yeah. Tolopilo is a big guy, 6'5", 229. He's a big dude, man. He looks like a goalie to me. You know what I mean?
Oh,
if you've seen a picture of him, he just looks like an NHL goalie.
I think Canucks Army like had an article or, I think it was actually a clip from the podcast. I just like scrolled through it on Twitter today where they had a picture of him as the thumbnail.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. You're like, that is a goalie.
He's looks like a goalie with like his body and then his head. He has like a goalie head/face look about him as well. Just looks like a class. He's got that classic goalie look. He's Belarusian, I believe. Right.
Yep.
Played in the KHL played 9 games in the KHL. A few games over in Sweden. And then, he's played They signed him as an undrafted free agent, I believe, right?
Yes, because he's pretty young still, right? Like, I believe, wasn't he like he's the 20... top goalie in the Allsvenskan or some shit?
Yeah, he's 23. So he was last year 28 and 17 for, I mean, I'm going to butcher this name, Södertälje SK.
That was Allsvenskan, right?
I think so. It says on HockeyDB, it says SWE1. Which I think is, but anyway, he was first or second division, but he was very good over there. 924 save percentage, 210 goals against average. So he was really solid. And yeah, I mean, he's 14 and 10. Abbotsford
Canucks stats.
14 and 10 for Abbotsford this year. Not like crazy stats, but like he's looked at for his first year in the AHL. I think from my understanding, he's been pretty solid. So
okay, so I'm looking at the goalie stats for Seelovs and Tolopilo right now.
Yeah,
Seelovs has played more in the AHL, 33 games to 24.
Okay,
they have identical save percentages at 907. Tolopilo has like a slightly worse GAA, but like who gives a shit? The big difference, I guess, is like Seelovs has four shutouts and Tolopilo has zero.
Right.
So maybe from that identical save percentage, you could garner that Tolopilo has been more consistent and Seelovs has had some stinkers.
Yeah.
Like I know Seelovs let in that goal from center ice a couple weeks back that had people raising their eyebrows.
Yeah. That's going to happen when you let in a goal from center ice. I feel like we haven't seen very many of those this year in the NHL.
No, none that I can like remember at least.
Yeah. You usually get a couple really, I mean the really bad ones I remember was there the one against Florida where Bobrovsky just passed it to the Canuck player. Was that this year? I think it was that horrible.
Was that
it was
this
in like
year?
November or December, I feel like.
Hmm.
Just an absolutely awful giveaway. I feel like we've seen a few bad giveaways from goalies, but we haven't seen any like howlers from center ice. But maybe I'm just not paying close enough attention.
On that note, this is something I was thinking of yesterday. You know how maybe when the game was happening on Saturday, who cares? Whenever a Canucks goalie goes down mysteriously, and another goalie comes in, you're like, oh, it's Luongo, he's shitting himself, Danny Sabourin, ha ha ha.
Yeah.
And it happened earlier in the year against Edmonton as well, right?
Yeah.
And obviously this last game. But I can't really remember watching another team. And I'm not like religiously watching other teams. Like I'll throw on games when they're around and just kind of have them on in the background. If it's really engaging, I'll get into it. But I am watching like 82 games against other teams every year.
Yeah.
I feel like whenever a goalie leaves and comes back, there's always like an inciting incident of an injury. I don't know if I've ever seen the like mysterious goalie leaves and we don't know why happen for another team.
Yeah. So
there's like something innately like Vancouver Canucks about like getting diarrhea as a goalie.
I mean, this team loves drama, I think, is a huge part of it, obviously, but
they're messy bitches.
They really are. But yeah, I mean, I'm feeling fairly confident overall. Like, I think DeSmith will be able to handle it. The Colorado game is obviously going to be a huge test, but it's a huge test for like the entire team, right? Like I could see them having Demko and Net and getting lit up just the same, you know, if that is what happens. Yeah, so
I think the major difference is with Demko and Net. Any game, you know, there's the possibility of him going like Super Saiyan and saving everything and dragging your team to victory when you don't have that with DeSmith.
Yeah.
But the Canucks have been so good defensively lately. I discovered on Evolving Hockey, you can sort by a date range to see things.
Okay.
So beginning of January is kind of where we feel the Canucks kind of leveled up.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's like, oh, this is actually like an elite team. They're not just getting lucky. They've been really fucking good since January 1st on like underlying numbers. So this is score and venue adjusted 5-on-5 numbers, according to Evolving Hockey. Expected goals for the Canucks are third in the league behind only Edmonton and Carolina.
Okay.
Two very good possession teams. In that time, the Canucks PDO, you think, oh, it might be like sky high. No, 101.5. It's lower than their season total when they've been like looking better like this. I know their Corsi numbers are also pretty elite. Yeah, they're third in Corsi 4 percentage behind the Panthers and Hurricanes, better than the Oilers. Fenwick, they're third. Weirdly, the Flyers are second, Hurricanes first. A bit of a trend there. So And then actual goals for percentage, they're fifth. So yeah, actually worse than their expected goals for, ranked in the league, which to me indicates like this is a pretty elite defensive team at 5-on-5. Not so much on the penalty kill. So that is kind of like their Achilles heel when it comes to these like underlying numbers that you have to keep in mind. But with that said, if you're putting up that type of performance in front of your goaltenders, it's going to be really easy for really any goalie in there. Like, look at what the Kings have done, right, with Big Save Dave and Cam Talbot.
Yeah.
And the Canucks are like outperforming those underlying numbers. So I tend to think if they can keep playing like this, Carson Soucy being in the lineup, I think helps a lot with that as well. I'm not super worried about it. You know how I feel about it? The same way I felt about the Pettersson contract. Where, like,
you knew it was going to happen, right? You knew it was going to be fine.
Yeah, like, that's what it's probably going to be fine. Like, the stakes right now are... The stakes for even winning the conference aren't that big. There's... I don't have it pulled up. The Canucks to, like, win their division, according to Dom Lecision, is, like, in the 70s right now.
Yeah.
Money Puck will be easier to find that. So, like, there's not a whole lot of drama there to me. The Oilers, they lost two games on the weekend, one to Buffalo and one to was to Columbus, right?
Yeah, it was 4-3, I think, or 4-2. That was the Buffalo one was really funny because that was the one where Buffalo scored in overtime and then they called it back like 5 minutes later or whatever.
And then, and then they had to go back on and then Buffalo won in a shootout, I believe.
Yeah.
Money Puck has the Canucks at 90% to win the division, by the way.
That sounds good to me.
And then with the way that Vegas has been playing, who knows? Nashville might finish with the first wild card. And even if you win the conference, your reward might be playing Vegas in the first round. So that doesn't really matter. And they pretty much have the division locked up. I think they'd have to go below a 550 win percentage.
Yeah.
To like really have a chance at blowing the division lead. So like, I think Casey DeSmith can give them that type of performance, especially because they're playing like Montreal, Washington, Buffalo over these upcoming games.
It's just like really funny that it's funny and unfortunate that we were kind of like joking about it. Like not joking. We were discussing like how many games should DeSmith get for this homestand.
Yeah.
And now the answer is all of them.
All of them. Yeah. Throw Seelovs a bone. Who cares?
Yeah, I guess he'll probably get one, but
yeah. Well, or Tolopilo or both. Who cares? Yeah,
let's check the schedule again. Cause they play a couple bad teams at home, right? They play.
Yeah. There aren't any back to backs. I think their next back to back is actually against Arizona on the road. It's like Arizona, Vegas.
Well, they play Washington. So Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That's DeSmith for sure. So see, now we're basically doing the same thing, but it's which game does the backup get? So just DeSmith against Colorado. You probably give him Wednesday and Saturday, right? To keep him warm. Mm-hmm. Then, so it's Saturday against Washington, Tuesday against Buffalo, Thursday against Montreal, then Calgary, LA, Dallas. I would say for the home, you give maybe the last home game to, cause it's against the Ducks. That's the worst. Yeah. That's the worst team in the lineup here by far, I think. Mm-hmm. I would say you give Silovs or whoever is called up, you give them the game against the Ducks probably. So DeSmith is going to get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight starts. But there's like a big enough gap there that there's no back-to-backs or anything, right? So mm-hmm. it should be fine, I think. I don't know. I'm excited. I mean, the way the team is playing, I'm not that concerned. The team is playing so well right now.
Yeah,
and they're just rolling after that road trip, and then I mean, God, dude, beating the Jets that badly is like really crazy.
Feels good.
Yeah,
this is like a thing. I was like looking back at all the games where Demko was starting.
Yeah,
and really the only one where I'm like, should he have really got that? Was that game against Chicago? But then I also think about like where the team was after the All-Star break, where they're win one, lose one.
Yeah.
There was more questions about them. They weren't like killing it like they had been really before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And I can see that there like could be some internal pressure to like, hey, we really have to win this game against these shitters.
For sure.
We're going to put Demko in. And I like Demko is a super competitive guy, right?
Yeah.
Like he wants to be the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure like he's like, I want to be a workhorse, like high load goalie.
Yeah.
And I imagine Ian Clark is like on that same page with him as well. Like Ian Clark coached Bobrovsky. He coached Luongo. Those are guys that like think they can play set. Well, I mean, Luongo did play 70 games once, right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that that's correct, but
I think was it his first year here or a second? He had like an insane, let's see, Luongo.
Yeah. DB. We're pulling him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, he played 73 games in 07-08. He played 76.
And then 75. That run. So
oh,
from
my God.
From 03 to 08, he played 72, 75, 76, 73. That's fucking crazy. How did he not win the Vezina in 06-07?
Not only did he play 76 games, he had a 921 save percentage. I think that might
have 47 wins. Like, how do you not? Who won that? Was it Brodeur who won the Vezina that year?
Yeah, it might have been a legacy Vezina, or it was Lundqvist popping off. Yeah, it was Marty Brodeur.
That's, and I think he had worse stats, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Let's figure this out. Let's get pissed off.
I mean, it was close. It was, so he won. It was very close. I mean, I guess he had a better goals against average, but he was also on a much better team too, right?
Who gives a shit about goals against average? Holy shit. Okay. In 06-07, Marty Brodeur played 78 games.
Yeah, dude. Isn't that fucking insane?
How? And he posted a 922. Jesus Christ. Okay, maybe he did earn it.
Is it Glenn Hall who has the goalie games played record, I think? Oh, yeah. That's so insane, man. Including the playoffs, he played 552 games in a row.
Holy fuck.
I mean, that's impossible. That will literally never come close to being broken, right? It's just not possible now. With like what people know about like sports science and stuff everything, like,
well, crazy about Brodeur that I'm seeing now. For 10 years, from 1997, 1998 to 2007, 2008, he did not have a season where he played less than 70 games.
That's crazy. That's really nuts. I mean, I think obviously he was like a great, great goalie. We have the beer nerd in the Discord and he'll tell us for sure, but I feel like he's not like, I don't know if he's a top five goal. It's tough. Cause like Hasek, I think is number one, I would say, right? Patrick Waugh.
In my head canon, he's behind Waugh and Hasek.
For sure. I mean, you look at the numbers obviously, but he was also, I mean, he was on really good teams, right? And I mean, so was Patrick Waugh. And that's kind of why I think Hasek is the best of all time, because he was on Buffalo for the majority of his career, right? Mm-hmm. But you go back to the 06-07 Vezina race there. I think you got to look at quality. Like, you know, if you're playing on, like, what was Vancouver's defense back then? Let's see. 06-07 Vancouver.
I don't think it's going to be particularly good, which while you're looking that up.
Yeah.
Quinn Hughes. Oh my God.
Dude, he's
been so good over this last little stretch here.
So good. It's crazy. So, Oland, you know, still 31 points in 77 games. Krejcik, not great.
Nope.
Kevin Bieksa.
Okay.
Relatively early on in his career.
Yep.
Sammy Salo, Willie Mitchell. I mean, you know what? That's a decent defense, to be honest.
It was okay, yeah.
A young Alex Edler, 22 games. Brent Sopel. Yannick Tremblay. Wow.
Oh, wow, this that's is what, a name.
Rory Fitzpatrick played 58 games that year, because I think that was the vote for Rory year.
That makes sense, yeah.
Let's see. Luc Bourdon, rest in peace. Patrick Colombe. God damn, dude. I'm going by games played here. I mean, Nathan McKeever played one game as well. Boy, we tend to do this when there's like a break in the Canucks
playing. Oh, the remembering guys
and
thing.
There's not a ton of Canucks news, but that was the year they made the Smolinski trade. I think they traded for Sopel at the deadline as well, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, didn't they give up like a second and a third to bring back Sopel? I remember I was so happy when that happened.
I believe that second was Wayne Simmonds. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, that tracks.
Oh, man. Have you checked in on Sopel recently? I was going to ask.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing right now since you brought up his name. And I was expecting him to have some like Israel takes.
Yeah, or something about the Oscars, maybe.
Yeah, no, I was like 100% expecting him to be talking about the zone of interest director speech thing. No, but there is something really funny where someone posted the like 90s Kings logo.
Yeah.
And from Yari the Hutt, who's the first player not named Wayne Gretzky or Luke Robitaille you think of when you see this logo? I'll start Kelly Rudy. And Brent Sopel just replied, Sopel.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, that's good. That's a good bet. Did you see, is it Matt Rempe? Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Did you see his hit tonight?
Yeah, not great. He looks like, shouldn't do that.
He honestly looks like a created player because he's like, what is he?
He's 6 foot tall. Eight,
and he's so tall and so lanky and obviously like an insane fighter. But he, like, he's going to kill someone on the ice, I think. Like, the hit tonight was really bad. And I also feel like, I don't know. I know we have, I think Tiggles is a Rangers fan in, our Discord. I'm pretty sure we have a couple Rangers fans in there. And I haven't watched him play like any full games, but he sucks at hockey, right? As like he's not like an NHL quality guy necessarily. He's just huge and hits people.
Yeah. I mean, like, I haven't watched enough Rangers games, so I'm really just going off what I've heard, which is like, he's pretty good, but he's also doing the, he's trying to stay in the NHL by any means possible. There's Luke Gazdick, who I've talked shit about before. He's won me over with his Halford and Brough hits.
Yeah. And okay. Oh yeah. He's not bad. Like, I actually don't mind him as much on Sportsnet anymore. And by the way, Tiggles does say that Rempe is actually kind of good. He's played well in limited minutes so far, and he's only 21.
Yeah.
But he seems like a big psycho. Anyway, go ahead.
But Gazdick said that when he came into the league, like, he was a fighter, right? And he was a fighter in the minors. And when he finally got his chance to get called up, he's said, okay, I'm going to fight everyone I possibly can so I can stay in this league. And that's what he did. So whenever there was a tough guy on the opposing team, he like studied their videotape and like learned how to fight them and shit. He said the only guy that like really fucked him up was McGrattan. Cause he like,
oh man, I fucking hate McGrattan.
Yeah, no, but
as a Canucks fan, you have to hate him cause of the Andrew Alberts thing, but
yeah, but I guess he like looked at his tape and was like, oh, this guy, like, okay, I see what his moves are. And then the second that McGrattan like grabbed onto his like collar, he's like, oh no, what have I gotten myself into?
McGrattan was terrifying. I mean, you go back and think of, like, obviously, like, Bugard, you know, when he was in the league was, like, so scary, right? And Rempe sort of reminds me of him just in terms of, like, how big he is and how much tougher he seems than all the other players, right? But it's just, it's so weird to see that type of player in the NHL now, you know?
Yeah. Well, and, like, Rempe doesn't have that because McGrattan looked terrifying. Apparently, he's super nice. I want to say my girlfriend served him before and he was like super friendly and chill and cool, but like big tatted up bearded, scary dude.
Yeah.
And Rempe is obviously not that. He's like gangly 21-year-old, but
yeah,
knows how to throw an elbow, knows how to get his face punched.
Dude, he's had a couple hits. I think he had a hit against Toronto in the corner where I was like, oh, he's going to like break the boards. It feels like, like he feels like the type of guy who's going to hit so hard. Like, remember the Lucic hit where he went through the glass?
Yep.
It feels like Rempe's doing that on like every play. And it like just the fights he's getting, you worry about like his health. Like, obviously it's dangerous for the other players out there too, but the way he plays, I mean, he's going to get hurt soon too.
You know? Oh yeah. Like, remember that, like, I don't know, study might be a little bit, what is the word I'm looking for? I mean, it might not have been like a journal study. Maybe it was like a survey, but that like NHL enforcers lived on average 10 years less than regular NHL players.
Yeah.
NHL enforcers life expectancy. Let's figure this out. Oh my God. Yeah. Okay. It was a study. This is on Axios. Okay. So, 90% of the players in the study are still alive, but among those who died, there's a stark difference between fighters and non-fighters. The average age of death for enforcers who have died was 47.5, and for the control group, the average age was 57.7.
I just remember there was that, like, two summer period where it was just, like, it seemed like an enforcer was, like...
Yeah, all of your faves.
Yeah, Rippon, obviously, Wade Belak,
I forgot about
Guard,
him. Brookbank.
Probert? Brookbank is still, let's see.
I'm pretty sure.
Did he? Because I know Belak was in 2011. Man, yeah, because there was kind of
Brookbank's alive. Let's go.
Probert was 2010. Bugard was 2011. Rippon was 2011. Bielak was 2011. Montador.
Not really
an enforcer, but he did fight quite a bit. Obviously had the concussion. Man, that's so fucked, dude. God. So that's like what you worry about when you see someone like Rempe where like it's dangerous for him also because you just see him. He's got like two black eyes at all time, right?
Yeah.
Like, and also like he's making it. He's obviously a target because he's so big. But he's making a target of himself by going out and like cheap shotting all these guys too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like if he plays in the playoffs, cause he's just, he's going to go even crazier, right? Like he's got to run out of energy at some point, but the way he's playing is just so, so ridiculous. Actually, that's a good question. I feel like is which Canuck are you most excited to see play in the playoffs in front of a crowd?
Ooh, that's,
it might be Joshua for me.
Joshua Zadorov is going to be sick.
Yeah.
You know, the first name that popped into my mind though is
was it Garland?
No, JT Miller.
Oh yeah. He's going to be hitting people. I think, right?
He has been putting up that stretch where everyone was like shitting on Pedersen, but like JT Miller was getting 8 hits a game. Yeah. We're going to see that in the playoffs when there's like real stakes to the game.
Oh my God, dude. Like what I'm really hoping for. And I think there's the like arena team is smart enough to do this. You have to skate out to U2.
That's going to get them.
I know they weren't doing that for the 2011 run. Right. I don't think, but like, that's just
did
like,
they not?
I feel like they were done that by then. I feel like I think it was a West Coast Express thing, but I just feel like it's been so long and it feels kind of the same as like the first time the West Coast Express got in the playoffs. You know what I mean? They were like a younger team. Obviously they got destroyed by Colorado. Don't want to talk about the Detroit series, but that feeling of like, you got this younger team that's been together for a little while that hasn't really done that much. And like, just bring it back to that. You know what I mean? Like if opening night of the playoffs, we hear that song, I'm going to fucking cry.
Yeah. That's an interesting question. Do you feel the Canucks are underdogs? Because they were like clearly underdogs in those series against the Avs and the Red Wings way back when. But there's a chance that they finish first in the league, even definitely first in their division, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
it kind of depends on the opponent. But if they do draw Vegas, like I wonder what the betting odds would be. It would probably be an even split.
I feel like it depends on, it depends on who they're playing, right? Like Nashville's obviously red hot, but Vancouver will still be favored there. If it's Seattle somehow, they're favored there. If it's Vegas, I mean, having the home ice advantage will be huge. And obviously they beat them most recently, but they're playing them, I think, 2 more times this year, right? So at least once more.
At least once more, yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think there's a chance just because they're a younger team. It's their first time in like real playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think you can discount the fact that it's the Vancouver Canucks, right? I'm sure Vegas takes that into account.
You know what I mean? Generational trauma.
You have to, I think, at some point. So, I'm interested to see what's going to happen in terms of the money line and everything. And God, I hope there's even less betting stuff next year. But it just seems like it's not going away. They've opened that box. Well, it's just, I
mean, Americans don't know shit about hockey.
I hate that ad. So fucking bad because I think we've talked about this before. Even if that were true, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's who you would want to bet with.
Yeah.
You don't want to bet with the guys who know hockey because they're going to be harder to win.
Yeah. They're going to give you worse odds for shit. These like should happen. I saw that commercial today and I noticed something like really funny that I hadn't noticed before is when dumbass there is handing the microphone over to like the guy that he's interviewing on the street. There's someone in the background, like fucking jumping up and down, waving their arms around, doing jumping jacks, trying to get attention from the camera. And they've blurred it in the video. So it's like a blurry background behind him in the middle, where they're like trying to take attention away from this apparently great take of someone not knowing what a bucket or an apple is.
Sorry, I just got some water down the wrong pipe.
Someone, Kiki, come Heimlich Steffen. All right. Well, while Steffen's doing
you carry it for a second. Okay, I think we're good now. I haven't noticed that, but I am going to look
pay attention next time. It's I don't know if is that, good is that the like right the, word.
The most recent, ad that
is the short version of it, okay. Where they're like, Americans still don't know shit about fuck. And
Yeah, that ad is infuriating, and it's like really like, I mean, every gambling ad is like predatory, but that one especially, mm-hmm. because they're yeah. trying to bring in new gamblers who are like, oh yeah. Why would I gamble with someone who doesn't know anything about hockey? I want to gamble with, like, it's just so predatory and like,
like of the gambling ads that we get, there is the one that always reminds me of the bat fetcher trick with my teeth, the Kenny Rogers jackass skit for Mad TV,
yeah.
where it's Chris Pronger and Leon Draisaitl and Mitch Marner doing the pickleball 80s style or whatever.
Yes.
That one's like annoying too, but not as annoying. And then my favorite one, which I can really just tune out, is the Tony Bet one, where there's the guy that Tony Bet.
That one
bet,
is so weird.
You know, to treat you like a VIP and the sports and courts. And well,
the one is it Tony Bet as well? The one where there's the couple at home and they start playing like hockey with like the laundry basket or whatever. Have you seen that one?
Oh, not since last season, I don't think.
Okay, because I found out with that one, the woman in that is one of Irene's very good friends. I had the game on, and she was like, "Oh, that's." She said her friends. I was like, "Oh wow, oh my god, okay, that's." Well,
tell her
cool
to knock it off.
Well, I said I was like, they play this ad like 5 times a game.
Speaking of like close to home ads that piss us off, there was this one for a local Calgary radio station that like you obviously wouldn't get, but it played incessantly. And there was like really annoying, like not clip art, stock footage of like people dancing in their clean apartments and shit with like
right.
Lady Gaga and stuff in the background. And then it would cut to the hosts of the show saying, "You just won," and like freaking out and stuff.
Yeah.
And like it played so much that it is like loathed all the radio host's face. I went on multiple times to their YouTube channel where the videos had like 400 views and left mean comments about how much it sucks. I really couldn't stand this fucking commercial. And then I got a push notification on my phone about like, you know, cuts and layoffs and Calgary radio. And they like the station is fired their morning hosts. And it was the lady that was in the commercial that screamed, "You just won." And I, maybe I'm embarrassed to say, I was like so fucking happy. Like, I'm glad this little woman lost her job for being this annoying commercial that sucks. Oh, now I can watch my hockey games in peace. Maybe you should have spent less on advertising or wait. Maybe they should have spent more on advertising. So it was a better ad to get me to listen to their radio station.
Yeah.
Cancelable take. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's fine. I was gonna ask any food guy updates recently.
Any food guy updates?
I haven't really checked in on. Actually, there was a really good outlaw where he did the classic outlaw thing of the video kind of starts in the middle of him talking, and it's clear like he was trying to start it earlier and like just didn't, you know. Which I love when he does that. But nothing really super crazy with him. Although JF and I are playing Portal 2 this weekend. Together, so I.
Oh,
I
am nice!
Gonna, yeah, there's I'm gonna a, watch.
Hopefully,
his...
he can beat it within 13 hours or whatever it
yeah,
was.
I'm gonna watch his stream of it and kind of like get some tips and tricks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he, you know,
don't follow the guy through the portal. We'll fuck you up. No, the God. Biggest food thing that I can think of is JKM. We thought he was dead because he went like a week without uploading a video, and he right. hasn't done that in like 5 years. He's like such shit. A consistent uploader.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
then he did come back. Don't know with what, let's see. He came back and was reviewing a Freezer to Feast Chef Gordon. Oh, Chef Gordo, Gordon Ramsay, yeah. slow cooked beef and red wine sauce.
Okay.
And he also back today with a, Banquet Mega Bowls Bacon Mac and Cheese.
All right, so he's healthy. He's doing fine.
Yeah, he's fine. No, I found like a new evil food reviewer who.
Oh, okay.
I forget what his name even is, but he's like a Michigan guy, and he. The video I found, I was looking up the Arby's Meat Monster, which an Arby's sandwich with all the different types of meat in it.
Dude, that sandwich is so disgusting. And Joey's reviewed it, I think, a couple times. And it's just so nasty. It's one of the most disgusting things
I've ever seen. Meat Mountain, I believe. Yeah. Not Meat Monster. But this guy, like, Daddy Delicious is his name. Daddy Delicious takes his, like, elderly aunt to get a Meat Mountain. And they're reviewing it in the car. And the aunt clearly is like, can we just like split one? She asks. And he's like, no, you have to eat the whole thing.
Oh my God.
Really?
Is this secret menu food hack with my aunt?
Yes. Daddy Delicious? Yeah, yeah. I posted the thumbnail on Twitter earlier.
Oh my God.
There's another one where he's eating like an incredibly spicy chicken sandwich from a food truck with his family. And his family orders regular stuff, but he has to film his review in the car. And so he like hands his wife the food, and then he opens up his son who's sitting in the back seat's food and like shows it to the camera, and then it starts like eating his son's meal so he can like get a taste of the chicken tender. And then he passes it to the back seat to his kid, which like I'm aware of the dad tax or whatever, but still thought it was pretty uncouth.
Oh my God, dude.
And there's like there's a video of him in his house, and his house is like really decrepit. There's like gigantic 3-4 foot holes in the drywall where you can see like the Lumex going into his like receptacles and shit. Like pretty unsafe to just be like living in normally. Like, well, not the safest. And then you like cut to his gaming room where he has like all these LED lights and like professional microphones and 3 monitors, and the gaming room is completely pimped out when he hasn't even finished the siding in his kitchen. So he's cool. He goes to this it's a cheeseburger festival in the Michigan Fingers.
Okay.
Let me see what it's called here. I've got his page pulled up. Yeah, the Caseville Cheeseburger Festival, which I guess it's like, if you're in Michigan, it's where the Salt Life people go to hang out, because it's like on Lake Michigan or whatever. Right,
right. Yeah.
And they do like a cheeseburger festival where people will bring food trucks from all over Michigan. And yeah, we watched this. It's 48 minutes long. And this motherfucker eats like 6 cheeseburgers a day for 5 days straight and like reviews all of them. And they're not just normal cheeseburgers. They're like over the top, like crazy ass ones.
Yeah.
And then he also like fashions himself as like a Guy Fieri type character. So he's asking the people in the kitchen if he can like go into the kitchen with them, and is like filming them for 700 views on YouTube. Yeah, he's cool. Yeah. Man. That's basically it for the food reviewers.
The guy, I forget what his fucking name is, but he kind of looks like Joey. And I swear to God, he like, I think he works at like a group home or something, 'cause he'll bring like guys in the car with him. And the guys don't necessarily seem like they are all there, is how I would put it.
Okay.
And he's like filming, like it's really, really strange. And I'm trying to fucking remember his name. He'll pop up in the side. Like if you're watching a Joey or JKM video, he'll kind of pop up in the recommendations from time to time. Is it food? I think it's Food Dip, maybe. It is.
Food Dipped?
Food Dip.
Food Dip.
Yeah, he's really, really crazy. So,
oh yeah, I've seen this guy.
Yeah, but if you like watch it, like he'll have ones where he's got like guys in the backseat of the car with him, and they're like,
there's like really a really rough, funny viral one of his with someone in the back.
It's the it's the pretzel bacon pub burger. It has 647,000 views.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What crazy ass thing happens in that video?
He's got a guy in the back, and this is why I think it's like a group home situation. Like there's something going on where like he shouldn't be reviewing food with these guys on camera. Yeah. You know, it just feels really, really weird. But, I think a bunch of like Twitch streamers watched that video and it went viral.
Yeah. Well, 'cause when I went to look up Food Dip, like Penguins Zero, Charlie or whatever from Twitch, was a suggested thing. The thing about reviewing food in your car, like Tom, for our Patreon, was doing like a monthly food review. He also did 12 in a month when we hit like a certain like financial goal on there. I forget exactly what it was, but he says it sucks so bad because think about it, you have to like prop up your phone in your car in a parking lot with other people in there. And then you're like eating this hamburger and like talking to yourself.
It looks very insane.
Yeah. Like, you feel insane while doing it, apparently.
Joey, I feel like back in the day, used to like at least pull into like his driveway, or he'd like drive somewhere where there was like no one around, and then eventually just kind of gave up and like peep, I feel like, go, I don't know, like it's really weird. Like that to me, when they're in the parking lot reviewing it, it's so fucking crazy. Like I just don't get that at all. Well, and
that's why I have so much respect for Joe is Hungry. Because yes. If you guys haven't seen Joe is Hungry, he is the creme de la creme.
Yes, of he puts fast his, food reviewers. His production values are off the charts.
If you like to partake in cannabis, I highly recommend watching his videos while stoned, because he he has like three or four cameras set up in his garage and like a table that like spins the food around, and he does these like insane fucking edits with like him eating a slice of pizza and these cheeseburgers. But he's such a thorough reviewer. He brings at least one, maybe two meat thermometers with him.
Yeah.
And whatever food he gets from the drive-thru, he immediately tests to see how hot they are. So that's like something that he reviews, is like the quality of like how fresh it is.
Yeah.
He has a special name for it, I forget. And then he takes it back to his garage where he weighs. He'll always buy like three of them. And then so he'll see like how consistent they are.
Yeah.
And then he does a taste test, but then he'll cut back to when he just ordered the food and he has like a sneaky bite. And so that's so he can try it while it's still hot and fresh. So he knows that. So he isn't like, by the time he's got his shit set up, like it can get cold. It's just, it's such a good, thorough review. And unlike most food reviewers who give everything like 5 out of 5 outlaw stars, to get a 10 from Joe is Hungry, it has to be like sublime, change your life.
Yes.
And so it's always like a very earnest review. There are some videos where he seems to be a bit annoying to the service workers, but those are kind of few and far between.
The craziest thing to me is when the fast food review guys will show themselves interacting with the service employees. And if it's like a bad interaction, it's like, you know that like you're in control of the video and you don't have to keep that in, right? Like there's a Ken Domic one I remember where he goes to the drive-thru and he says hello, and the person through the drive-thru like either doesn't hear him or whatever, just doesn't say hello back. And then Ken like calls her out and is like, you know, it's like, if you should be polite and like try and have a conversation with people when they say hello to you, you know, and just like calls her out for it. And it's like, man, why did you keep that in the video?
Yeah,
like,
beat it, loser. Here's me being an asshole.
The one I always think of is, and maybe you've seen it, is the Peep This Out one where it's the Chipotle Chicken Club at Jack in the Box. And he like misreads. He like orders a size up and like misreads the amount that's due. So like he looked at the sign for it and it said like a certain amount, but because he ordered a size up, it was 50 cents more. And he like complains about it for like so long, and like gets the manager and everything, and is being so like smarmy and passive aggressive about it. And like, he's the one who was wrong. But at the end, they just like knock the 50 cents off, and it's like so brutal to watch. And it's like 2 minutes long. And the whole time you're watching and you're like, man, you were editing this. Why did you keep this in here? Like, it's just, and I think it's partially because they're like, oh, maybe I'll, like, I think it, maybe it's subconscious, but it's like, we're going to go viral. If this goes viral and people are mad at me, like, that's good for my stream or my channel in a way, right?
But I guess, it's like the whole Logan Paul.
Exactly.
Methodology. Have I ever shown you the Stone Cold ET guy?
No, I don't think so.
So just on the annoying drive-through workers, his YouTube handle is FizzyPops3434. Okay. He's been on some Shock Jock radio show at one point. I want to say he's been on Mad Cow. But he has a character called Stone Cold ET, where he wears an ET mask and then the rest of them is dressed up like Stone Cold. He's a really wrestling brained guy. There's a video where he goes to a flea market dressed up as like present day Shawn Michaels in camouflage, and it's completely inscrutable. Like, who the fuck is this guy?
Right.
But he'll go through the drive through talking like Stone Cold with an ET mask, saying Stone Cold ET wants a cheeseburger, and then the drive through workers have to deal with him. This one Stone Cold ET drive-through thing from like 11 years ago has 6 million views. And I think he's just been chasing that dragon ever since. But he has one fucking awful video where he's like a white guy, right? And his drive-through prank is to be Dennis Rodman.
Oh,
and not only Does he do black face? He does like black body. He is like completely covered in it.
And does he do like a voice for it as well?
Yeah, but like, it doesn't sound like Dennis Rodman.
No, it
doesn't even sound like a racist accent. He's just kind of grumbling. And the drive-thru workers that he's talking to, they're like POC. And so like, he's just fully driving through in blackface, pretending to be Dennis Rodman, like holding a fucking basketball in his car. And then like filming himself talking to like these poor fast food workers are just like, come on, move it along, sir. Like there's more cars behind you. It is such a gross, uncomfortable video to
watch.
That
is so brutal. Jesus Christ.
So reverse shout out to that guy. Fuck you, Fizzy Pops 3434.
Oh my God, that sucked. Like he doesn't get a lot of views from it, does he?
Well, he has in the past.
Right.
Like I said, the first Stone Cold E.T., it was Man Cow that he was on. Yeah, Stone Cold E.T., hilarious drive-thru WWE, has 6 million views. This is all from like 11 years ago.
Yeah.
There's one where he's trying to go through the drive-thru as Randy Orton, and it looks like he's like getting fully naked in front of the ordering menu.
Oh,
there's,
my God.
Yeah, he sucks big time.
I feel like... I mean, drive-through pranks are just so like they like.
It's if the you're worst still of doing, the worst.
If you're still doing those in 2024, that's like completely insane. Like,
oh yeah, and that's the thing is he still is like his latest one is Donald Trump 2024 drive-through prank from 2 months ago.
That fucking sucks so bad. Holy shit.
Yeah.
You can tell there's not much happening with the Canucks right now. By the way,
what the fuck? There's one that's a Leonardo DiCaprio impression drive-through and. In the thumbnail, he's shirtless and smelling a bottle of milk at the drive-thru window.
That sucks, man. That's so bad.
I do have another hockey thing to bring it back to that. I know you're not on Twitter, but did you see the Ron McLean tweet?
Yes, I did see that. What the hell was
so,
that?
For anyone that hasn't seen this, maybe you're not on X. So Ron McLean posted a photo of him with Don Cherry. Don Cherry looks decrepit. They're eating a slice of birthday cake, giving the thumbs up.
Yeah,
he looks
very old.
Yeah. Yeah, Don Cherry looks like he's knocking on death's door. But Rotten McLean's caption: "Us when grapes hits a milestone, and I was chasing one so recently. Canadians, us like us forever."
What? So what is he saying?
That's what I want to know. There's so many commas here. So it's like us, comma. When grapes hit a milestone and I was chasing one, comma, so, yeah. comma, recently, period, Canadians, period, us like us forever. What? So that's him and Don Cherry.
Yeah.
Grapes hit a milestone, which is probably a birthday. Like, how old is Don Cherry now? Did he just turn 90 or some shit?
I mean, he looks old as fuck.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he just turned 90.
Okay.
And so Ron McLean, I wonder if he's like... 63. I don't know what milestone he's chasing. Is this 65, like the retiring age or senior discounts or
saying,
something?
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand what he's saying. And it's also very funny because I did check on, like, I clicked on the post and, like, it's so funny because it's just a bunch of blue checks who are like, you stabbed Don Cherry in the back, you motherfucker.
That's the first reply. Is that the same knife you stabbed him in the back with?
Yeah.
Blue check mark with an upside down Canadian flag that's all in black. Ever apologize for the shameful way you threw him under the bus when you knew damn well he's a good man?
That's so funny, man. We should do as like an ongoing segment on here is because I think Don Cherry is still doing his podcast. Have you heard what his podcast sounds like?
Yeah, it's got the like EDM intro.
The crazy intro.
Yeah. Because like his son is a DJ or something. Like I know.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Jackson reached out to us. Yeah. Which I think actually was right before Jackson came on the show, but it's like his son is the fucking his son or something was a DJ. He probably made the intro music for the podcast, but he made a techno song with Don Cherry's doing weird awful shout rap thing over, and it's genuinely the worst thing I've ever heard. Don Cherry Rock'em Sock'em Techno,
it's
which
really
you guys can look forward to listening to at the end of this podcast. I'll make sure that Dan puts that in as the outro music.
Don Cherry's Grapevine podcast. I just want to see. Yeah, he's still putting them out. So let's see if the. Okay, yeah. So here, hold on. I'm going to set this up so you should be able to hear this. Okay. Let's see. This should be audible, and it should be audible on my audio as well here.
All right, let's go.
Oh, yeah, I'm hearing it.
Yeah, anyway, it's really
loud. That's awesome. That rocks. I think I found my favorite reply to this. This is from Night Rain 7. Ron, you sold your soul to the woke machine. You are no longer a true Canadian to us. Thank you, Din Cherry, for not apologizing or backing down. Form the woke mob, a true Canadian patriot.
Jesus Christ. God, dude. Oh, man. Yeah, I just don't know. I was trying to parse it yesterday and just...
Much beloved broadcaster and analyst for so many decades and a smart man, the comments here are a more telling tribute to grapes. I'm stunned at the outpouring by decent Canadians with moral clarity. The support of Hamas in the streets of our cities show an ugliness grapes fought hard to warn us about. His innate fear of hatred was spot on. Shut the fuck up, GDR trading.
Man.
There's... So, but I posted that on like the show account, and someone replied, Liu from BC, Alan L, shared this Ron McLean tweet from 2019, which is when the Raptors went on their championship run.
Okay.
And it's Kawhi being interviewed, and Ron McLean captions it with 88 Stanley Cup. Wayne Gretzky told me watching Larry Bird set 99 on fire. I was also DJ in 80s. Blondie became a first rap song to go number one. Tonight I'm thinking Flash is fast. Flash is good. Fab Five Freddy knows where everyone's flying. Hang each night in Raptor. Kawhi hits one from Canada. What the fuck are you talking about, man? It's crazy reading these tweets. I don't know if he's just like on the piss, like playing shirtless air guitar, and then he pulls out his fucking phone. But like, how does he write like this and form coherent sentences on Hockey Night in Canada?
I don't know. I mean, he's like, he's just such. I'm so fucking tired of hearing. Like, he's so smarmy, right? He's so smug.
Yeah. Know? And no, he was dead to me after 2011, but...
Yeah, oh, of course, yeah. But it's just very, very funny to see him still posting on Twitter when, like, everyone... Most of the people who are still on there just fucking hate his guts, you know?
Yeah.
But he deserves... That's the audience he deserves, so it's fine by me.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was like, that Don Cherry bullies him too much, but maybe he should have bullied him more.
He didn't bully him enough, yeah.
Yeah. And what did he get for it? He got stabbed in the back and ran over because of woke.
God.
Good times.
Yeah. Well, any predictions for this week? We got two games this week. I assume we'll be recording after the Saturday game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Colorado and Washington.
Or, we should probably record after the Colorado game.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
To get two in a week, I think.
Yeah, we might have to. Because we could record
on
like a Sunday.
A schedule. We could do it on a Sunday, but then it's like, a bunch of days in between shows.
Maybe
we record on like Thursday after the game.
Dope, yeah, we'll have a game to talk about at least.
Yeah,
so,
that's like 4 days or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look forward to that, everyone. That'll be the Discord one, the Patreon one. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
Go Canucks, go.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was a food review heavy episode, but it's a bit of a lull right now. So.
This is kind of like a world of contrast episode, because I thought we had some like pretty good hockey analysis with like, you know, their expected goals since 2024 started. But then we also had Stone Cold ET and Ron McLean tweets. So it's like best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I'm patting myself on the back for this podcast episode.
Yeah.
All right. Hit it, Don.
Let's go! Let's go!
Listen, listen to what I say. Play that game the Canadian way. Hockey.